Did you know you can start monetizing from your podcast from day one? That may come as a shock to you. How? Through affiliate marketing. So today I chat with affiliate guy Matt McWilliams to share how easy it is to benefit from affiliate marketing, including how to get started, what kind of products you'll want to be an affiliate of, and some key strategies to boost your revenue. You won't believe how truly easy it is. So let's dive in. So, hey, welcome to the Leverage Your Podcast Show. I'm your host, Lindsay Phillips of smoothbusinesspodcasting.com. My goal is to help you leverage podcasting to skyrocket your visibility, authority, and business by sharing insider secrets from podcast industry experts, including myself, who have created a successful business through podcasting. So let's dive in. Hey guys, I have with me such a fun guy. We actually were just giggling a little earlier, like he said, like 12-year-old girls. But he is the affiliate guy, legit the affiliate guy, because he has the Affiliate Guy podcast. And of course, the author of Turn Your Passions into Profits, Matt McWilliams. Welcome to the show.
Hey, Lindsay. Thanks for having me.
You bet. I found you in a weird way. I was just like online. I think I was on LinkedIn. I went down a rabbit hole and another rabbit hole. And I came across your video that you had about using podcasting, using affiliate marketing, like in podcasting. And I'm like, I need him on my show. That's such a good topic. Yeah. People like, it's a way to monetize. And we're going to talk about affiliate marketing today.
Cool. Well, that's exciting because that's about all I know.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Affiliate marketing and rough, you know, American Revolutionary history. Those are kind of my two jams.
We'll leave the other topic, although it does appeal to me because I was a history major.
I'll see if we can work it in. I'll just suavely work some James Madison into podcasting today. Sweet. That'll be fun.
Perfect. I love that. So I have a ton of affiliates. I have, and then I weave, you know, those into my podcast. But I know I need to get better at it. And affiliate marketing is such a great way to monetize your podcast. For those that are just like, I have no idea what you're talking about, Lindsay. Can you kind of give us the Coles notes of what affiliate marketing is?
Yeah. I mean, we've all seen it. It's been around for thousands of years. We just added technology to it about 30 years ago. I mean, the basic concept is I refer someone to you, you do business with them. You sell a course, you sell a membership, you sell a widget, you sell coaching, whatever it is, you sell something to them. And then you reward me by giving me a commission. And, you know, like I'm pretty sure the Romans invented it, you know, 10,000 years ago or whatever, you know, and like Claudius would take, okay, Claudius is the only Roman name I can come up with right now, but Julius, would take Julius. Pretty sure it wasn't Caesar though. He'd take him, be like, Julius comes up and says, hey, can you recommend a deli? And Claudius is like, I sure can. I don't know if they had delis in ancient Rome. Probably not. Yeah, again, this American Revolution history. I don't know, you know, Roman history. And they go down, and what does the deli owner do? Gives Claudius a commission in the form of a free sandwich. You know, I mean, the concept has been around forever, you know, since the dawn of man, roughly. And so that at its core, that's really what it is. Like I said, we just about 30 some odd years ago, we added technology to it. So now I can refer people. And I don't need to know them. We don't need to be, you know, meeting each other on the street corner and Claudius is hungry. Like, no, we're, you know, I can have a list. I can have a social media following and I can promote a product. I can promote a webinar that leads to the purchase of a product. I can promote a PDF download that leads to a purchase of a product. You know, I can promote all kinds of things. And ultimately, I end up getting rewarded for that. And the cool thing about it is with the technology now, I don't even need to know the people. You know, I would say 98% of the people who purchase products through my affiliate links, I don't know them. You know, I have no relationship with them other than, you know, they're a subscriber or they're a follower. And so that's what we've done with technology, basically.
It has like just multiplied your ability to be visible and have exposure with so many more people.
Yeah.
And basically multiply your revenue stream without really doing much work.
Mm-hmm.
Super appealing.
Yeah, exactly. Well, and the other thing is, you know, and this is one of the biggest advantages to affiliate marketing when people are starting off, you know, if people are starting a podcast, right? You have a general idea of who your audience is. And I'm going to make up an example on the fly. And sometimes this is dangerous, but you know, you've got a podcast that is, let's just say it targets parents Or, you know what? Let's go with parents of teenagers, you know, because I got a 12-year-old. So I'm starting to listen to those types of podcasts. And so we got a parent of a teenager. And can we have a general idea of the age of our audience? I mean, most people don't have a teenager when they're 27. And most people don't have a teenager when they're 62. Again, generally speaking, they're somewhere in today between their mid-30s and late 40s. That's the general range if we were to sum up 95% of that audience. And we also know, perhaps just because, you know, of our own, maybe it's, you know, if you're a female or you're a male, or you specifically target dads or moms, you might have an idea there. Okay. So we have a general understanding of who they are. And we have a general understanding they're probably, if you're US-based, they're probably US-based. Mm-hmm. But what do they want to buy?
Yeah.
Like, what are the things that they want? Do they need high ticket coaching? Do they need a $37 course? Do they need a membership where they just need a community? You don't know. And so the cool thing about affiliate marketing is it allows you to monetize very early. You know, some people say with podcasting, you got to have 10,000 downloads per episode before you can monetize. Why? Mm-mm. For most people, it will take years to get to 10,000 downloads. There is an inflection point. And I know you know this, Lindsay. There's an inflection point where we start to use a Canadian term, we start to hockey stick, you know? We start to grow at a more rapid pace. It might take you 3 years to get 10,000 listeners and 6 months to get to 20,000 and then 4 months to get to 40,000. You know, we see that all the time with podcasts. Does that mean that you got, is it because you got better? Not necessarily. It's because you hit that inflection point. Mm-hmm. So that means you have to go 3 years under this mythical limit of 10,000 before you, you know, you start to monetize. Other people say 5,000. Other people say you need to do it for a year. They can't even agree on the time link or how many listeners we need to have. They're all wrong. You start monetizing on day one. Now, duh, newsflash. If you have 20,000 listeners, you're going to make more than if you have 1,000 listeners. I mean, I hate to break that to everybody who's surprised by that there. But most podcasts bring in $0 in their first year. That's an actual fact. I've looked it up. The average podcast brings in $0 in its first year. We're not talking about if NPR starts a new podcast or if Joe Rogan started a new podcast. That's not what we're talking about. Regular from scratch, building your audience, no audience, they make $0. Do you have any idea, and I know you do, how much $100 a month would change the psyche of that podcaster? Because suddenly, if you look into what you're paying for your hosting, on average, it's about $20 a month, 20 bucks a month. What you paid for your equipment, this was like $300. That's about it. I mean, a lighting kit, but I don't technically usually need that for a podcast. I just use that for the video. But, you know, you're going to spend, you know, $300-$400 up front. You can do cheaper. Yes, I understand. But, you know, let's just go with 200 even. Yeah. You're going to spend $200 up front, $10 a month. That's a $320 investment. At the end of the year, most podcasters have lost $320. That is a terrible business model. It totally changes the dynamics if they so much as even profited a couple hundred dollars. And that's what affiliate marketing does, because you don't know what your audience wants. So we tiptoe into it and we test some things. Do I sell 100 things at $50 a month versus, now $50 a month, do the math with me. Typically at $50 a month, that's $600 a year. Mm-hmm. Or do I sell 20 at $500 one time? That tells me my audience will pay $50 a month, five times more than they will pay $500 one time. Mm. And you learn stuff that then you can apply to your own products and your own services.
That's true.
You learn things like what type of marketing works. You learn, okay, what's the better way to advertise this thing? Let's assume you're building a list as well as, you know, a podcast. What subject lines get open? How many emails do I need to send on deadline day? What types of emails do I need to send? When I do the podcast, we'll talk about some of the ways you can monetize today. But what are the things that actually work? Because I'm going to share 11 ways. And here's the thing. For each podcaster, five of them might not work for you.
Right.
Six of them will work really well. Which six are going to work and which five won't? I don't know.
I'll test them.
They've all worked for dozens and hundreds of podcasters that I've worked with.
Yeah.
At any point, one of these has, all 11 that I'm going to share today, has been the number one way they've done affiliate marketing. But for this niche with this person and their comfort level, some people, I'll just say number one, right, is interview the product creator, right?
Yeah.
For some people, that doesn't work. If you don't have an interview podcast, if you never do interviews, the only time you do an interview is when you're doing an affiliate promotion, your audience picks up on it. Oh, Matt doing another interview. Pfft, not going to listen to that one. It's just him selling a guy's product. So if you don't have an interview podcast, guess what? That's a terrible idea. Cool. Agreed. I've got 10 more. But so you learn that. And if you learn that every time I do an interview, it actually just doesn't really increase sales. I make the same number of sales whether I do an interview or not. Well, then are you wasting your time doing the interview?
Yeah.
Maybe. Is it good content? Maybe you do the interview, you don't make any more sales, but your download numbers skyrocket that it is worth it. And that's the stuff you learn risk-free because you don't have to create anything.
Yep.
You don't have to go spend hundreds of hours creating a course or spend thousands of dollars creating a product. I mean, you know, any of these things, like I'm looking at creating a physical product. I won't share what it is because we haven't patented it yet, but we're looking at creating this physical product. The best estimate we got the other day, as far as the CAD design, which is the computer aided design and creating the first molds, $47,000. Now I have to spend that. Now here's the thing. I know that there's a market for it. I've done enough research and I've actually test promoted it even to my audience, basically pre-selling it. And you know, there's things like Kickstarter, but if you don't know that, man, $47,000 is a lot of money to spend when you're like, is anybody even going to buy it? But you learn that with affiliate marketing.
And I never even thought about that aspect of it. To me, I'm like, okay, you know, people buy it, you make money, it's all good. But I didn't think about the whole analyzing their buying patterns and what they're doing and how and what's attracting them. I always think about that in regards to the podcast, who I have on, the topics, like what resonates, but that's a really interesting bonus, really.
Yeah. Let me give you an example of that. Like the second affiliate program I ever ran, I worked for a company where we were in the guitar instruction niche, right? And we had a 20 lesson course that was about general guitars called Gibson's Learn to Master Guitar. And it basically covered everything from like the very first lesson, like how to hold the guitar and how to play Mary Had a Little Lamb, all the way to how to play electric guitar. And once you got to about lesson 12, there was a lesson on fingerstyle guitar, jazz guitar, electric guitar, blues guitar, so on and so forth, right? And I was like, well, here's the thing. That's a 1 hour lesson. Guys, we should create mini courses, like a 10-hour course specifically on jazz guitar, blues guitar, fingerstyle guitar, stuff like that. But that's a big investment. We're talking about getting the guy in the studio. The average course production was about $100,000 to $120,000. And you know, it's going to sell for less than the main course, going to probably sell for $99. So we're like, okay, that's a big investment to make if we don't even know this is going to sell. So I was like, well, let's go work with this other company. There's a guy named Dan Denley who created a course specifically on blues guitar. And all we did was at the end of lesson, I think it was 12 on blues guitar, at the end of that lesson, when they went into the system and said, I'm done with lesson 12, it would trigger a follow-up sequence and say, hey, you've learned a little bit about blues guitar. Did you like it? You do like blues guitar? Cool. We recommend Dan Denley's blues guitar course. First year, we did $170,000 in sales of his course.
Wow.
What do you think we did the next year?
Oh,
we created our own blues guitar course. And furthermore, this was a cool thing. Dan became one of our top affiliates because his position was, well, they came to me to learn blues guitar. What if they want to learn other styles? What if they want to sample other styles of guitar? Cool, go buy this course. He still was one of our top affiliates. We no longer recommended his course. We actually created a competitive product.
Yeah.
But now he was making, you know, $200,000 to $300,000 a year as an affiliate of us. That was too much of that was a lot of money to him. So he kept promoting us. Great relationship, all because we tested the potential to make a product by promoting someone else's similar product.
That is a fantastic idea. I love that. Now I want to get to a couple of things, but you brought up relationships.
Mm-hmm.
And I know you find it important to build long-lasting relationships with affiliates. And it's funny because you think, okay, like I share like TubeBuddy and Social Champ, and I have those affiliate links and share the tools that I use, but I don't necessarily have relationships with like the CEOs of those companies or anything like that.
Yeah.
So what's your take on building those relationships? How does that weave in?
You know, people are surprised to hear I'm actually, I'm actually a pretty extreme introvert. Yeah, and it's funny when I did sure? a, what's that?
Are you sure?
Yeah, it is funny. All of the tests, you know, Myers-Briggs, all that stuff, and just even my own personality, like I'm going to do this as soon as I get off this, Lindsay. I've got a training that I'm doing for a client. So we'll go about 90 minutes where I'm training them on affiliate marketing. After that, I have to take a break.
Yeah.
When I go to conferences, I'm on for about 2 hours. That's right about my limit. We go to lunch. I'm awesome for about 2 hours. Then what I have to do is I have to go outside the conference. I have to go for a walk. I just have to get away, you know, and I don't need to be on social media. I need to go listen to an audio book or go for a run or just be by myself. Yeah. And that's how I've always been. Like I can be on, and then, you know, at work when I used to be in an office, which was like 15 years ago, you know, I could be on, and then I had to go in my office, close the blinds, close the door, turn the fan on, so I had white noise, and just zone out for 20 minutes. You know, I have to recover. So this, when I say this, it's not as somebody who's like, well, networking and relationship building comes easy for me. It's not. All right. Yeah. It is actual work. And the key word that I often use is intentionality. I have to be intentional about it. So in my planner, which I always have right here, and for the first time in months, I don't, because I had to take it upstairs a moment ago. So it's like, yay, I talk about how I always keep it right here and I'm going to hold it up and show it, and it's not right here. But I swear I usually do.
I believe you.
On there every day, almost. There are exceptions when I've got other big projects going on. There is intentional relationship building. So for me, I'm not one of those people who's like, I'm bored, I'm going to go to Facebook. All right, that's just not my thing. I don't want to go to Facebook. I actually, quite frankly, would rather that I didn't have an account if it were up to me. And I don't want to be on social media. And I have a few friends, and I'll say to them, I don't really want to talk to anybody else, generally speaking, not by default.
Yeah.
But I know that it's important. So I have in my planner, go to Facebook. And then I have a spreadsheet. This is kind of like the old school way of doing it, right? I have a spreadsheet. And every day I go look up 10 people. So about 4 days a week, I look up 10 people that are on this spreadsheet of people that I want to maintain relationships with. I don't go to my feed. I don't scroll through my feed.
Yeah.
I do check my notifications periodically, and there's always 20 plus. But, you know, I always check my notifications just to make sure. And then I go pick 10 people, and I go to their Facebook profiles, and I find something they've posted in the last few days, and I engage with them.
Smart.
That's relationship. That's part of, there's plenty of other things I do. I wish I was like, I'm so smart and I thought of this all by myself. And man, that was like, because I know how to do math, but there are 26 letters in the alphabet for those of you who don't know that. and every quarter I reach out to all 26 letters in the alphabet of people in my network. And I wish I could say I planned this. I just started doing it. And then one day I went, wait a minute, the math works out perfectly on this. Tuesdays and Thursdays, generally speaking, I've had to evolve it. It used to be always Tuesdays and Thursdays. So you go to my site, I talk about Tuesdays and Thursdays. I haven't updated it. It's now Mondays and Fridays because of soccer, because of kids soccer. But 2 days a week, I reach out on Monday now, everybody that I want to, and I've got a list of about 15 people that are in the A's. Guess what I do on Friday? I hit the B's, then the C's and the D's. And finally, when I finish reaching out to ZZ Top, I'm done for the quarter. And I start over. And again, it worked out perfectly. There's 13 weeks in a quarter, 26 letters in the alphabet. Boom, I'm done. Yes, Q is the P and Q days pretty short.
Some days are shorter than others.
Yeah, but it's intentional. Yeah. And all I'm doing is I'm finding what we call them an E, what do we call them? Excuse to mail, ETM. I had to think about what the acronym was. We call them an ETM, excuse to mail. So with affiliates, when we work with affiliate programs, we're looking for an excuse to mail our affiliates, an excuse to reach out to them, right?
Yeah.
I do the same thing. It's an excuse to reach out, an ETR. What happened in their life recently? Okay, they got married. Cool. I'm going to probably comment on that in this message. Their alma mater won the national championship. Their alma mater lost the national championship. Their alma mater was in the news for something bad. There, something happened in their town, you know, right. Like I find something, like we have access to this. Like when I first started doing this back in 2007, it was a little bit of a challenge. I'm going to be honest. It was hard sometimes. Like, oh my gosh, like what happened in French Lick, Indiana this week? Nothing. I don't know. Like some French started fighting. I don't know what started happening in French Lick, Indiana. Now it's like, you just go to Google, type it in, and like, you'll find stuff. and you'll find stuff on their alma mater. Now you have to know that stuff, but it, so that's why I keep it in a spreadsheet. But again, checking in on Facebook, things like that, and just finding a reason just to reach out to them and engage with them. That's what it takes. It's a little bit of a hustle, but it, it works.
It, it, you get it back tenfold, but the fact that you have a system and that you actually have it in your calendar and that you are consistent with it and committed to it, to me, like those three markers are absolutely key, and good for you for doing that.
I'm random. To be honest, and again, when I say this, I sound like the world's most selfish jerk in the whole wide world. I have notes to reach out to my mom. And it's not because I don't love my mom. It's because we have two kids who play high level soccer and a business to run and other, you know, stuff in our community. And I get so busy that sometimes I just I forget about my mom.
Yeah.
And so if I don't have those intentional, like occasionally I'm like, well, that's a funny meme. I'll text it to my mom.
Yeah. Yeah.
But if I don't have that intentional thing, the reality is I would go 2-3 weeks at a time without ever communicating.
Because you're so focused on what's in front of you and your go, go, go on the day to day, you know, whatever.
And, absolutely. And my mom's 68 years old. So I'm just going to leave that there. You know, like I know time is short.
Yeah.
Whether it be 10 years or 20 years, it's still very, very short in the scheme of our, you know, my lifespan. So if I'm that intentional about that, I'm not going to reach out there. And so there's nothing wrong with that intentionality. There's nothing wrong with having a system. Yeah. A lot of people, well, I shouldn't have to do that. Or I don't want to do, I'm an intro. Like I said, I am too.
Yeah.
But
it's smart business.
You know,
like
I'm not saying you got to get on a FaceTime call with them.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not saying you got to like do any of that stuff. You don't have to do, no, just reach out to them and tell them you're thinking about them.
Yeah.
And hey man, you know, I mean, I have a friend of mine, he's not his alma mater, but he's a huge Clemson fan. And so, you know, like when they do good or bad, like it's a trigger for me. Ah, I need to send him a message.
Yeah.
You know, so I'm always thinking of those. When I see, you know, I won't mention the movie or the person just because I don't know that they want the world to know that they're a huge fan of this, but there's a particular thing that this guy that I have a pretty good relationship with. And anytime I see something like that, you know, out in the, I saw some socks, you know, for this movie.
Yeah.
I took a picture of the socks, sent them to him, and then bought the socks and, you know, and mailed them to him.
Oh, that's awesome.
The only reason I even took a picture is I was like, I just want to make sure he doesn't have these socks already.
Yeah. That's cool.
And he's like, dude, where did you find those? And I was like, you know, the store in North Carolina, they're on the way, you know?
Yeah.
And so little things like that, like if you kind of use those, that's work for me. Just being clear, like it's not my, like when you look at my wife's a giver. My wife's the one, if our team, I swear on all that is holy, if it wasn't for my wife, our team would never get anything good. I don't think of those things, you know, but she does. Yeah. And that's why, you know, we make a good team. So
I love it. Yeah. And you seem very authentic. And again, just being organic with it and being like just normal, nice person. It doesn't have to be contrived.
Yeah, it doesn't. It's just, it's little things. And, you know, if you can make a person laugh, you know, you don't, in essence, you don't have to be funny.
No,
you don't have to be the one that's funny necessarily. I've studied comedy and I love comedy. And I generally, most people would say I'm quick, you know, I'm quick witted and things like that. But I'll give you a great example. One of my good friends, and he's been our number one affiliate in our company, is a guy named Tom Woods. And we're down in Indianapolis a couple weeks ago. And there was this huge billboard. Tom Wood is like the number one car dealership in central Indiana, right? He's got Tom Wood, everything. There's like six Tom Wood Fords, Porsche, Ferrari, Honda, everything. Right. And there's this billboard. I have to look up and see what it said, but it was something like, basically said Tom Wood is the best, but there was something, it said something else.
Yeah.
And I took a pic, we're driving by him. Like my wife's driving. So, you know, don't think I'm taking pictures on the interstate while I'm driving. And when I take a picture of this and I get a really good picture and I just take the little, you know, the, whatever the drawing thing and put an S at the end of the billboard and kind of make it look sort of like it, but enough that he knows that, you know, clearly it's written with a crayon on a phone.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And I sent it to him, you know, and I was like, dude, you're huge in Indianapolis. And he got a kick out of that.
Oh, totally.
You know, and that's awesome. The kind of things that you do with people.
Makes the life fun. So if you're a podcaster and you're like, okay, Matt, I need to bring affiliate marketing into my podcast so I can make more money. Where do you start? Like, who do you get to be, or like, who do you find so that you can be an affiliate of their product that you can sell on your podcast?
Yeah. So starting point, I'm just going to tell people where to get it. If you get our quick start guide, it walks you through this a lot more detail than I have time to go through here. Perfect. So mattmcwilliams.com/quickstart. The very beginning of that is, how do I find affiliate programs? Yep. How do I get accepted? There's some email templates in there to reach out to the affiliate programs and all that stuff. So mattmcwilliams.com/quickstart. But here's what I'm going to do. This is what I generally say. Now, this doesn't apply to every niche. Probably applies to 99% of them. Look at your workspace. All right. So in digital world, in the world that I live in, the knowledge industry, right? You know, which is what a lot of people are in, where I'm teaching people how to do what I do. I mean, literally look at my desktop. Normally I would have my planner here. Guess what? We're a big affiliate for my planner. Mm-hmm. Right. All right. So now I go, okay, what websites do I log into every day? You know, such and such to build funnels, such and such to do social media. Cool. Going to recommend those. Let's look around my desktop. Okay. The lighting kit, boom, the microphone, boom. That's, you know, so on and so forth. Let's say you're in the gardening niche. Go out to your shed, go out to your garage and look, okay, what seed do you use? What soil do you use? What spray do you use? What fertilizer do you use? What mower do you, you know, like all those things. Boom. Okay. You're in the parenting niche. That's a little bit hard because usually you don't have like, you know, it's like, what medication do you give your kids?
what whipping stick do you use?
You know, what rod do you know? Okay. Well, edit. Okay, good. Yeah. You know, that's a different one, but again, okay. Think about what courses have you taken? What books have you read?
Yeah.
What people do you follow? Okay. If there are like games where it's like, okay, we want to learn with our, so a Ticket to Ride is a great example. I love that game because my kids now know where, they know where Montreal is. The only reason they know where Montreal is because of Ticket to Ride, you know, just that's one example. Honestly. And they get a conception of like, yes, there technically there is not a train that goes through the Atlantic Ocean to get from Washington, D.C. to Miami.
Yeah.
But you at least have an idea of what, you know, where they are and things like that. So what games, you know, do you recommend? Right. What books do you recommend to maybe help your kids? Maybe you've got a kid who has an anger issue. Maybe you got kids who, you know, okay, what books do you have for teen? You know, we got a preteen girl, like I said. You know, how
else do I say this? Nutrition,
their bodies are changing. So there are things they need to know.
Yeah.
You can recommend those things. Again, look at your workspace, look at your bookshelf, look at your the websites that you're going to on a daily basis. That's where you find these things. And then from there, like, you know, we can talk about, okay, now how do I start promoting those things? That's obviously something people are like.
That was my next question because it's like, okay, we're talking right now, but it's like, how do you segue into sharing that, you know, product or whatever it is in your podcast or even in your online marketing space so that you can sell without being sleazy, but have it also have it successful.
Well, part of that's the mindset, Lindsay, like selling does not equal sleazy.
Totally.
Right. Sleazy selling equals sleazy. And it is kind of, you know, what is it, the thing about money, you know, money is amoral. You know, $1 million in the hands of a generous person and they'll be generous with it. $1 million in the hands of a greedy person, they'll be greedy with it. The money's not one or the other. You know, it's a completely amoral thing. Selling is the same thing. Selling is amoral. You know, if you're the prototypical used car salesman and your methods of selling are to lie, that's sleazy selling. If your method of selling is, you know, to say, listen, your budget's $6,000 and this car here, you know, is about worth $6,000 and I'm going to sell it to you for about $6,000. And here are the problems with it. And here are the good things with it. And also, you know, just so you know, you're going to need a new alternator in about 5,000 to 6,000 miles. Mm-hmm. So we're discounting it. That's why it's not 7,000. Then that's honest selling.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, you're not trying to sell them. Like to me, dishonest selling is, hey, this car's brand new. It's got all the bells and whistles, but it's got a $900 car payment. That's sleazy selling. They can only afford a $6,000 car.
Yeah.
You know, they are broke. They do not need a $45,000 vehicle, you know? And so I think the mindset of that is part of it. There's some things like we talked about interviewing the product creator.
Yeah.
Just having an interview on and then eventually turning the conversation to the product itself, but learning about that person's journey, why they created the product, who it served. That's a great way. If you can't get the product creator, because a lot of times, like newsflash, if you're going to try to sell, I'm extreme example, I don't think Tesla has an affiliate program. You're probably not going to get Elon Musk on your podcast. Heartbreak, right? But you know, even getting somebody who maybe has a big product launch coming up, I'll just name names, you know, a Jeff Walker, a Tony Robbins. I've had, you know, I've had Jeff, I've not had Tony, but I've had his business partner and CEO, Dean Graziosi. I've had some great guests over the years, but there are some times where I haven't been able to get a guest. So you know what I did? I interviewed someone who's used the product before I could get Jeff, before I actually got to know him and became friends with him. I promoted him many, many years ago, and I invited a few people who had been through PLF, Product Launch Formula. They'd been through with me. I said, let's just get on and talk about PLF. And I'll never forget. One of the things is,
that's a great idea.
When you have Jeff on is, and you're like, you know, it's kind of cool. Cause like, I got a big famous internet marketer on my podcast. Here's the thing. What he's saying the whole time is PLF is great. PLF is great. PLF is great. And people are going, of course you'd say that.
Yeah.
But I had a lady on this. Her name's Timby Becca. She's born in Zimbabwe, lives in Canada now. And I think she lives in Western Canada, if I'm not mistaken. But she, you know, let's just be honest. She's a black woman from Zimbabwe with a really cool accent.
Yeah.
All right. So when she says, when I say, Timby, what would you say to anybody on the fence about joining PLF? And she goes, just buy it. Just sign up. It works. How much better does that sound with her accent and being a female from
you
know, Southern Africa than it does if me, the white dude from Indiana, says it?
Yeah.
And so sometimes you're better off doing that. And it's easier access. Things like just doing a product review.
Yes.
Like just doing an entire episode once a quarter where you talk about something. So like I did an entire episode once where I talked about a tool that I was using, and it took like 20 minutes to kind of go through it. And so it could be a new gadget. It could be a course.
Yeah.
You know, things like that, general guidelines. And I've got a whole guide on product reviews. If you go to, I think it's mammochwaves.com/review posts. It's about written reviews, but the principles still apply. So you want to share the good and the bad.
Yeah.
You want to share like, okay, are there any limitations? Like, hey, just so you know, this doesn't work on Windows. Or just so you know, this is meant for a little bit more beginner, not advanced, you know, or vice versa. You share who it's for and who it's not for.
Right.
You know, who is the target audience? Like, hey, this parenting course is great if you've got young toddlers through, you know, maybe second graders. But honestly, once the kids are about 10 and above, it's not, you're not going to get as much value out of it. Focus on your results, like share your story, share the results you got, talk about, talk about how awesome it is, but specifically around your results.
Yeah.
So you can do an entire episode where it's a product review. Another one just kind of ties in with that, Lindsay, is just doing an episode where, you do like, you're going to do here's my top 10 productivity hacks, right? We did one. And we talked about the productivity hacks. And when I talked about planning your day, I talked about my planner. Mm-hmm. When we talked about managing projects, we talked about our project manager, you know, software. When we talked about, you know, things about like some of the, you know, supplementation and stuff, we had links to those. And I wasn't saying like, hey, you have to go buy these. And it was a 10-second mention in a 45-minute episode about productivity. Right. But, and all I said was like, hey, I've really benefited from this supplement. I've really been a bit fitted from, you know, this website, the brain.fm. If you want to, you know, just here, I'll put a link to it in the show notes. Boom. And, you know, we sold like 4 subscriptions to brain.fm through my affiliate link from that. That wasn't the point of the episode.
No.
But I'm like, I made like $80 just passively for mentioning one cent. Link,
yeah, exactly. You know? And the thing there too, with your approach is like, you're serving, you're giving people content, you're giving them information that's going to be helpful. And then you're sharing the thing as like, hey, here's what I use. If you find this helpful, like you can go get your own copy here. It's like, it's not like you're, it's a whole selling pitch. Yeah. It's a nice approach.
Yeah. I mean, there's so many more like sharing tips. Ray Edwards does I don't know if he still does, but he used to do a tip of the week. Mm. So he would do a segment and then he'd have like, you know, this week's tip of the week. And he'd be like, this week's tip of the week is, I don't know, you know, to get better results with such and such, make sure you do this, you know, like to get better results with your lawnmower. This would not be Ray Edwards, but let's say you run a gardening podcast. Make sure that over the winter you add STP fuel stabilizer to your tank, you know, something like that, right?
Yeah.
They'll put an affiliate link for the fuel stabilizer in the show notes. And that's just a little tip.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden you made $300 awesome. From an affiliate link about something simple. Yeah. I mean, there's so many ways.
It all adds up.
Even just doing ads. You want to, here's the simplest way. Mm. Like you asked earlier, how do I get into it? Just do this in the middle of your podcast. We've all heard of podcast advertising. Mm-hmm. Newsflash, when you're first starting out, nobody really wants to advertise with you. You know, you got right. 225 listeners. Run your own ads yeah. using an affiliate product. I did this with the first time I did this was in 2013, old podcast. And I had a friend of mine who had a book launch. And I just said, I literally was like, I don't know, 7 ways you can blah, blah, blah. After number 3, all of a sudden some music started playing and it was a little 60 second spot. And the cool thing about a podcast is it could have been a 47 second spot or a minute and 14 second spot, because it's not like I have to make it 60 seconds, you know, yeah. for the radio. And I just said, hey, if you're listening right now and you're struggling with this, this, and this, my friend Jeff Goins has a book, blah, 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 blah. Go to this URL, grab a copy. Now that podcast tip. So we had a specific link for, we sold like 27 books, which went into an upsell and made like $500 yes. affiliate commissions, you know? And it was an ad.
Yeah.
Simply put, you don't have to have advertisers to have ads. And it doesn't have to be like some sort of a fancy ad.
Yeah.
This is the rule. Anytime you mention a product, use an affiliate link. If they have an affiliate link, use the affiliate link. So good example of that, as I was doing an episode a few years ago where I said, you know, it was like, I did a recap of PLF Live with Jeff Walker to come back to him. And I was like, you know, by the way, I'm a huge fan of, you know, Product Launch Formula. If you're interested, you can join Jeff's waiting list. It was like mattmcwilliams.com/PLF. And that went to a waiting list.
Yes.
Of which we eventually sold. I'm not going to mention the course and not just throw in an affiliate. What, 7 seconds that I took to mention the affiliate link?
Yeah.
Anytime you mention a book, oh my gosh, as Robert Cialdini says in his book, Influence, blah, 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 blah. By the way, you can see all of my recommended books, including Influence, mattmcwilliams.com/books. Make sure you go, you know, grab a copy. It's one of my most highly recommended books. You know, as so-and-so says and such and such, boom. And then you just tell, and you'll sell 3 copies.
Yeah.
You know, it's, you make $1.72, but here's what we're doing, Lindsay. And I know know this, but this is what we're doing. We're training them to expect a periodic offer. Mm-hmm. We're training them to listen to the podcast and then take an action. Oh, I made $1.72 from 3 people who, you know, spent $15 on a book. But now you have 3 additional people on your list who bought something through you.
Yeah.
And as Dan Kennedy says, a buyer is a buyer is a buyer.
Absolutely.
And that person is now worth infinitely more than somebody who never bought anything. Last tip, real quick, make sure that you create a resources page. If you go to Matt, I know I've dropped like 74 URLs, but
it's all good.
I violated every rule of podcasting in this episode.
I don't have rules. It's all good.
I do though. I have rules. And on 1 link per episode. No, that's not, we're violating that one. If you go to mattmcwilliams.com/resources page, I've got a guide on how to put together a resources page.
Nice.
And then when you're talking about it, when you're talking about links, especially if you're going to talk about a lot of different links,
options,
like, you know, notice I said, as Robert Cialdini says in his book, Influence, and if you go to mattmcwilliams.com/books, that's a resources page for all of my recommended reading.
Right.
The cool thing about that is, number one, I don't have to remember mattmcwilliams.com/influence. What's the other book?
Too many.
I can't remember. Shoot, let me go look it up in Pretty Link. Boom, boom, boom. Number two, when they go there to buy influence, guess what else they might do? They might buy another book that I recommend.
Yeah, yeah, and see other things.
You know, absolutely. And so now they go, oh, well, Matt recommends these 12 books. I'm going to buy all 12. I have had people do that. They have bought everything except for like two books in my recommended reading podcast because they've already read them. You know, and so it's easy for me to remember. I can do it on the fly because sometimes I don't plan this. Like I have bullet points for my podcast.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, you know what? Boom. Talking about consistency. I'm like, why? Well, as Robert Cialdini says, you know, and I can memorize some of the quotes, you know, and it's super easy. So use that resources page.
Yeah. That is, you just like banged all of these little tips all into this one episode. Awesome. I love you. You're awesome. You gave thanks, so Lindsay. Much tips. Yeah. And so many resources. They'll be stacked in there in the show notes. So tons of good nuggets for people to go through. And obviously to check out your book as well, Turn Your Passions into Profits, and to listen to your podcast, The Affiliate Guy. So thanks for coming on. You've shared so many good pieces and some things that even I learned.
Good stuff, Lindsay. Thanks for having me.
All right. Yeah. Thank you. Bye, guys.
And that is a wrap for this episode of the Leverage Your Podcast Show. Your next step, head to leverageyourpodcastshow.com to listen to more episodes to get more insider secrets. And if you are guesting on podcasts but still feel like the best kept secret and you want to create authority boosting content with ease while attracting leads and clients, then request a free podcast guest leverage audit to transform your results. Head to leverageyourpodcast.com/guest audit.